Hello everyone. I've got my fan on and it's oscillating, I think that's the word they call it, so I hope it doesn't disturb anybody too much. And I'm replying to Erin PWNS. I hope I got your name right, because Erin's got two N's, so I don't know if you're Erin or Erin NWPNS. Anyway, Erin asked if someone could come and talk about their experiences of dating a blind and a sighted person if somebody's done both. Well, I have. In fact, I've married both, but not at the same time, you'll be pleased to hear. I hope my fan's not going to disturb anybody. It's only quiet, but I don't know if the air's going to go across the microphone. Let's hope not. Anyway, I am married to a sighted man now, and I've dated sighted men and blind men, and I married a blind man with whom I had my children. I think you're right, there are advantages and disadvantages to both, but really, the blindness shouldn't come into it overly, because I think you made a very good point, Erin, when you said that even though you're dating a blind man, he doesn't have to accept your blindness, but there are other things that he about you that he might have to accept, and that's the same for all of us. And so it's not all down to our blindness. Sometimes people get hung up on this. Oh dear, I'm blind and no one's going to like me. And I know in the UK, certainly when I was a lot younger, there was a big thing. If you married a sighted man, you kind of made it. You know, they had a car, they could drive you around. Well, I married a blind man because I met him at college. After I left university, I couldn't get a job, so I went on to do some further training, and I actually went to a college for the blind. I've got, obviously my university was mainstream, and I met him there. He lived next door to me. I was going out with someone else at the time, but I'm afraid he got given the big E. And so we met and we dated, and eventually we married and had a family. I've got two sons. We did talk a lot about having kids. He really wasn't keen at first. In fact, we did split up over that once, because I wanted children and he didn't. He didn't think that two blind people could bring up a family. I think he was a bit brainwashed by his own family, to be fair. I think they kind of thought two blind people together can't manage. But we lived near my family, so if I needed any help, I didn't need a lot of help, to be quite honest with you. My sister had kids around about the same time as me, and she had two very close together, and she was quite sick at the time, not because of the children, but when they were young, with ulcerative colitis. So my mum gave her a lot of support, and I didn't see that much of her. Not that I'm complaining, but I really did get on with things on my own. And sometimes we've had not a disagreement, but sometimes over the years I said, oh well, you didn't do this or you didn't do that, and she said, well, I didn't think you needed me. And in a way it's an inverted comment, a compliment, because she thought I can do everything myself, and most things I could do. There were times when we were both worried about one of the kids, especially the first one, because everything is more traumatic with your first child and you've got nothing to compare it with. So if he was ill, I can remember once my son, I can't remember how old he was in a bed, so I think he was about two. He came up with what I now know are hives all over his body. And I was really worried because there was a lot about meningitis at the time. So I did get my sister to come and have a look. That's the sort of thing, you know, she had a car, she lived locally. She would always jump in the car. She wasn't sick at this time. That was later. But obviously I wouldn't expect it when she was sick, but I didn't expect it any time, but she knew if I was worried that she wouldn't want to be worried with one of her children if she couldn't see. So she'd come and just say, oh, I don't think it's anything to worry about yet. It's nothing much. But on this occasion, I did actually speak to the out-of-hours doctor, and they did actually come out, because there was a lot of them. It was all a very big campaign about meningitis at that time, and He had a very bad throat, and they told me that what happened is he had tonsillitis, and his body was allergic to the tonsillitis, so he'd come out in an allergic reaction to that. So, but getting around with the children wasn't easy. It's not as easy as getting, just bunging him in a car seat and away you go. I had, when they were very young, I carried them on my front. I know this is getting a bit off topic, but I'm just giving you some idea of what it's like. And in a carrier, and then when they got a bit bigger, I used to carry them on my back in a framed carrier. I also had a buggy, which is what I used most of the time, which a friend of mine whose husband could see converted with a special belt and harness for me to tow. And I had a handle on it, an extra handle for lifting it up and down steps so it didn't tilt. And I worked with a guide dog. And when I had my second child, I walked with a small child and a buggy and a guide dog. And we got around very successfully, and we managed okay. It was hard work. Looking back, I don't really know how I did it, but, you know, you're resilient and you cope because, you know, my kids were really my life, and the happiest times of my life was bringing up my children when they were young. I loved reading them stories. I had all their books brailled and playing with them, and I was really very conscious that I didn't want them to be behind their peers. And in fact, they, in lots of ways, they were developmentally ahead, especially in their language skills. And I helped reading in my second son's class. I went in to help some of the children who were slow with reading, and my son was way ahead of a lot of his peers, not all of them, but there were some that could barely read, and their parents could see. I don't think you really have to worry about whether your children will respect you if you're both blind. Yes, they will try and get away with things, but usually, with mine anyway, it was only minor things. Like when my son was three, the first one, there was just me and him in the house one day. His dad was away for the weekend, and I made us a roast dinner, and we sat at the table together, chatting away. He was a great talker. And when I went to pick his plate up, I just ran my hand over it. I said, "Oh, you've eaten all your Brussels sprouts." And he just went, "No, Mum, you did." So I had to laugh. I had to laugh about it. And I think a lot of blind people have... it's not that their senses are any better, but they're developed more. So I've got a very extremely sensitive sense of smell. And the kids knew this. I don't know if they were eating sweets. I'd say, "Who's eating a blackcurrant sweet?" if they weren't supposed to be doing it. They knew they couldn't get away with it. I don't know whether they've ever tried smoking, but neither of my kids smoke. But they know they could never have got away with it without me knowing. Not on this earth. So, and drinking when they shouldn't have been. So, because my son tells this story, the older one, that one day he tipped a cup of tea away, and I said, "Why are you tipping your tea away?" And he said, "How did you know?" And I said, "I can smell it." Well, I can't remember that, and I could not smell a cup of tea from the other side of the room. But I believe that I actually heard him tip it into the sink, and before it hit the water, because it was a washing up bowl, I heard the tea go in, so I knew there was something left in the cup. But, you know, I told them I could smell it, and then they believed it. He believed it. So, and of course I reinforced it every time I said, "Who's got chewing gum?" or whatever. And it was little things like that they'd try and get away with. So it's not been anything major at all. And my kids, okay, they've had their moments. They're a bit cheeky to me sometimes, but aren't they all? And my oldest son's 21 now, and he's working. And the other one is at college and volunteers at a charity shop, or a thrift store, as you call them in the US, twice a week. And they live decent lives. They're not in trouble. They're not raking the streets. I think my ex-husband and I... I've done a pretty good job, though I say it myself, on raising them. I've always had... We got divorced when they were 14 and 9, or we separated then, and they're now 16, coming up for 17 and 21. And he has been a good support to them and me. And so they've always... We, in fact, we've presented a more united front since we've been apart. than we did as a couple together. So they've had a, even though we divorced, I think their childhood has been quite secure because they were never any in any doubt that they had parents who really loved them. And that's both parents. And they live with me still, but they go and visit their dad regularly because he lives locally. And he's married again, and they get on with their his new wife, and they get on with my new husband. So we did debate about whether to have kids because of the, we knew it would be difficult, but we managed, and I'm sure that we took them away on holiday every year. We didn't go abroad because I thought that was a bit much. We went abroad when once we got separated. I did go abroad with my sister a couple of times with the kids when they were a bit older, but we took them away every year for at least a week, usually two. We went to the seaside. We were very keen that they never missed out on anything. They had a chance to go to scouts and stuff if they wanted to, gymnastic clubs when they were little, toddler, all the toddler groups, all the things, horse riding. And we had to make a bit more of an effort to do these things sometimes because we couldn't just get in our car and drive off, and if the weather was really foul. I always took them to school. They didn't have childminders because I stayed at home with them till they were older. And then I did work part-time just a couple of times a week. But that was at a college, so I had the school holidays home with them. So, you know, we all make mistakes and we all do things we wish we hadn't sometimes. But I do think that we've done quite a good job with the kids. And everyone says that they're a credit to us. They don't hear them the way they argue and swear at each other at times. But then I suppose that's how brothers go. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. My experience, and I'm sure others will come back and say this as well, has been a very positive experience. The reason we got divorced had nothing to do with us both being blind. But life was tough sometimes. And I think especially with me becoming unwell with my kidney failure, which didn't really happen till after we'd split up. It was diagnosed the year before, but it didn't affect me at all then. I think life might have been quite tough with me and him now but I don't think it's because of our blindness. I think it's just because of our personalities. And I'm not going to go on about how I met my sighted husband because I've said that in another book about the evils of social networking, so I don't want to go over that all again. But when he first came to the UK, I was quite unwell with my kidney problems, and he did have to do a lot in the house, more than I would normally expect anyone to have to do, especially that's new here. But he did it because he was married to me, and that's why he married me, to help me when I needed it, and that's why I married him, so that I can support him when he needs it. And he's not just my husband, he's my friend. And that may sound a bit soppy, but it's true. And we try and do everything together, really. And now I've got a lot of my strength back, and I'm still working on it, but I have. A lot of my physical strength has come back, and I've taken on the jobs that, you know, I feel that I should be doing. And we share everything. We share the housework, we share the cooking. It's not like he does it one day and I do it another. With the housework, we split it and we both do different things. And the cooking, we just do it together. I don't think that... Sometimes I think, oh, how can he love me? I'm blind and I've got kidney failure. But I know he really does love me. He's going ahead to be tested as a possible kidney donor for me. Now, he's a black guy and I'm a white woman. So I didn't think this was possible. Apparently it's not impossible. It's coming from a live donor, because the matching process is easier from someone who's still alive than from someone who's deceased. Now I feel this is... I'm going to do a whole other boo about this, probably tomorrow, because it's not what I want to talk about here. But, you know, you can't be much more dedicated than that, I don't think. And he talked to me that he wanted to do it, and I didn't know if he was serious about it. And then the day we got married, after, you know, after the ceremony and everything, when we got back to the hotel, he said, I want to give you my kidney. And he was deadly serious about it. And, you know, it's a big thing for someone to offer that. My son also said that he would if there was no one else came forward. And I said I was so thankful. And other members of my family have said that they would as well. But I don't know if they're really serious about it. I said to my son, you know, there's no way I can take a kidney off my own children. It should be the other way around, if anything. I don't really want to take it off of anybody, but that's another thing which I would... Another boo. That's for another boo. I think for some people it would be easy to use someone if they're that type of person, but then whether you're blind or not, you know, if you're that type of person that's going to take advantage, you're going to do it anyway. So I think most decent people don't. And in fact, I'm very conscious that I want to keep my independence, and I don't want him doing everything for me because I can't see and he can. I still want to do the cleaning. He might be able to do a better job if he can see, but I'll still do it. And if I've missed a bit, well, he can go and do it. But he, you know, I'm pretty thorough at what I do, so it's not really likely. Sometimes you do miss bits, and you know, you can't help it. That's the way it is. But I don't believe that two people can't keep their house together. That's just not true. And bring up a family, because I've done it, and I'm. You know, when I had my second child, I had very high blood pressure. It's what started my kidney failure, actually. And I asked for someone to come in and help me with the housework for the first couple of months after I had him. I didn't really qualify for any help at all, but I managed to get this. And because I had... my husband and I both had guide dogs. I was very conscious, you know, I wanted the place to be clean, the dog hairs and stuff. And I was not supposed to do vacuuming and things, so that's why I got someone to come in for a few months to help to do that. And I, you know, I was conscious about it, and she said, believe me, she was someone that worked going in helping people with social services, believe me, I've been into some homes with both people who can see that have got children, and their houses are absolutely filthy. And they've got no excuse for it. Sometimes, she said, sometimes all they have to do is to go in, and they give them about 6 bottles of bleach, and they go into the house and they have to clean it up. And sometimes it takes several weeks to get it done properly. And there's no excuse for that. And, you know, so if we miss things and something might be a little bit grubby, well, you know, at least we tried. And we made the effort. And we're conscious that we might sometimes not get it quite right. We're not just downright lazy and sit there expecting everyone else to do stuff for us. And that's sighted people having social services having to come in for the welfare of their children. Sighted parents. So, I used to think about this a lot. How will they get the mickey taken out of them at school because their parents are blind? And it happened once, I think, with my older son. And I think the younger one got taunted in the street by the next door but one neighbour's child. Oh, your parents are blind. And of course his cousins were up in uproar, my sons, and they all chased this boy and said, your mum's an ugly so-and-so with purple hair. You know, there's all odd, she was odd, that woman. So, you know, we might have been blind, but there's plenty of odd-sighted people around. And because we're blind, we weren't odd. We were, you know, sometimes I used to think, well, is it fair having children and they don't have normal parents? And then I thought, well, hold on a minute, what are normal parents? I'll go down the school and I'd walk up the playground, the field towards the playground, and I'd be behind a woman pushing a buggy, smoking over the top of our child. And I thought, well, you know, and the chances are they just got out of a car. Whereas my kids, okay, they had to walk to school, but they were healthy and they didn't have to breathe in smoke in the home. These children that couldn't read, Why weren't their parents teaching them to read? I suppose they didn't care. They probably just come home from... If they went to work, they might not have done. And just packed their kids off to bed or stuck them in front of the TV. Yes, my children watched TV. It was a part of their day, but they also read books with me, and I read to them at night. And they could read when they should have been able to read. They weren't playing catch-up like these other poor kids that couldn't even read the words like cat. So don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't bring up a family, because you can. If you want to, you don't have to. There's no onus on anybody to have kids, is there? Some people need to know when to stop, and that's sighted people usually. So I don't think there's one thing that's better than the other with regards to blind partner and a sighted partner. Yes, there are advantages to both. A blind person knows how you feel. They know how frustrating it is when you've dropped something and you can't find it, etc. But, you know, a sighted person can appreciate that as well. And a sighted person can drive you around if you've got a car. We haven't got a car at the moment. We are intending to get one when we can afford it. And that will be lovely, especially because of my kidney problems. Getting about isn't so easy for me now, and it will be really great to be able to go places like that. But you know, at the end of the day, you've got to have more to your relationship than a pair of eyes. They don't really matter that much. It's what's inside the person. And you know, it's who you meet and who you happen to fall in love with. And I don't think you can really say that if you meet someone that's sighted, it's a special treasure that they love you because you're blind. Because at the end of the day, that's almost like saying that a sighted person is better than a blind person, and they're higher up than us, and we should be thankful that they love us. And that's just not the case at all. We're all human beings. We're all born the same way. We all go out. We're all born with nothing on. We all die. Whether we can see or not, that doesn't help us, does it? So, there's more to us than, I was going to say, than meets the eye. Excuse the pun, but I suppose that's what I am trying to say. It's a very interesting topic. I think I've talked about this before, because I think this might be going back a few months, but I can't remember whether it was on a channel or just on my own personal boo. So anyway, I'm going to stop waffling for now, because I think I'm just repeating myself and saying the same things over again, and that's never good. So my husband just made me a cup of tea, and I'm going to drink it now. And yes, I'm still liking to be independent and do my own things, but sometimes he makes me a cup of tea. And sometimes I say, can you come and help me do this? And sometimes he says, darling, I need your help with something, and I'll go and help him. And that's how it should be. And it shouldn't be whether we can see or whether we can't see. But I do agree, it's a very interesting topic. And if you want to marry this man, I hope it all works out for you. And I just feel sad for you that you can't be together more often, because I've had long distance relationships. I've had two. One with a guy in the States, a sighted guy. Not that I would tell you that ordinarily, but just as we're on the subject. That was for 3.5 years, and I did go over to the States to spend time with him on several occasions. And then my current husband is from Nigeria, and again I spent time with him in Nigeria before he came to UK. But we were apart for several years, and a year and a half after we were married even, and that was not easy. So I do understand, and whether we could see or not, it wouldn't have made any difference in this case, because we're not talking about jumping in a car, we're actually just talking about jumping on a plane and getting visas and all the expense of everything. So that wouldn't have made any difference to me, but I do understand what it's like being in a long-distance relationship. It can be very difficult and actually very stressful, whether your partner can see or not. So anyway, on that note, I'll leave it, and I'm just talking to everybody, but I'm responding to Erin's boo. I haven't listened to Cheryl's yet because I'm going backwards. Usually that's what I do. I find it easier than going backwards and coming forwards again, so I'm going backwards through my boos. Anyway, I'm going for now. See you later. I hope my battery hasn't gone. That would be a pain. Where's my headphones? My earphones. Okay, I think my battery's died. I'm such a div sometimes. Okay. My battery hadn't gone, but the low battery thing had come up. So I've got rid of it now, and I'm going to get rid of myself. See you later.